We have a very timely public discussion for us prepared by the Faithful Slave class. And the theme of the talk is Choose Your Associate Wisely. And this will be given by a visiting speaker, Brother Tomor from the Glenwood Park Congregation. So, Brother Tomor, have our attention on please.
Choose your associates wisely. What do you think of when you think of your associates? How important is it to you who your associates are? Have you heard the expression, show me his company and I'll tell you the man. Let me know the company he keeps and I shall easily guess his moral character. What do you think of that? Are those strong words? Your moral character. Based on who you associate with. Well, what does the Bible have to say about that? Does it offer an opinion? Let's look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. Let's see the perspective the Bible gives on that. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It states there, the one walking with the wise one will become wise, but the one who has dealings with the stupid will fare badly. So that expression that talked about your moral character, I'll be able to tell his moral character based on those he associates with. It's in line with what the Bible says here. Because truly, when the Bible speaks here about wisdom, they will become wise, or the stupid, it's not talking about an aptitude at math or I'm a really good speller or something like that. It's speaking about moral sense. Okay, a wise person, according to this context, would be one fearing Jehovah, one with good moral sense or sensible to moral truth. And conversely, the expression the stupid one does not refer to one who does not have high intellect, but rather their moral intelligence. So and this can be applied to any field of endeavor, really. As an example, say you played soccer only with people who didn't know the rules to soccer. Maybe they picked the ball up with their hands all the time. You're not going to get better at soccer. But let me tell you from experience, if you play with the Ayetis, you're going to get better at soccer. But if you play with people who can raise your aptitude in something, you're going to improve in it. So like the scripture tells us, when we associate, when we have dealings, when we're walking with the wise, we will become wise. So our associates, they have a considerable bearing on who we become, how we're going to develop. So it's important that we not take lightly, not just who we're going to maybe speak to. We can speak to many people, but those we're going to choose to be our true companions, our true associates. It's an important decision that we should not take lightly. Jehovah appreciated the value of good associates. He surrounded himself with millions of angelic creatures. And then he created the earth. And he wanted to surround himself with human creatures as well. So he valued having associates, having that company, that support around him, even though did he need support? Probably doesn't need support, but he valued it. He saw the value in having companions. And we can also look to the example of King David. King David was a man who was dear to Jehovah's heart. And the way that he viewed who he spent time with, we can learn from. In the psalm that David wrote, Psalm 26, we're going to refer to that throughout our talk a few times. But we see there how David felt about associates. And we saw in his relationship he had with Jonathan, who was a very good associate, what kind of qualities he valued. But in Psalm 26, if we look at verse 4, he gives us an indication of what he looks for in associates. He says there, I do not associate with deceitful men, and I avoid those who hide what they are. Good counsel for today, isn't it? Deceitful men, those who hide what they are. I avoid those who hide what they are. I hate the company of evil men, and I refuse to associate with the wicked. And we saw a very decisive action that David took at different times of his life with those who, with the wicked, those who were wicked people, but also his ability to correct those who at times had wicked desires. We think of his encounter with Abishai when Abishai wanted to run Saul through, but David corrected him. He said, no, this is the anointed of Jehovah. We are not here to kill him. This is not our purpose. So he had the ability to correct his associates, to make sure that he was associating with those that were pleasing to Jehovah. And we notice as well where David enjoyed spending his time. And we're going to pick up on that in our discussion. He appreciated the need not only to avoid bad association, but to have good, positive associates. In verse 6, we read there, I will wash my hands in innocence, and I will march around your altar, O Jehovah, to cause the sound of thanksgiving to be heard and to declare all your wonderful works. Jehovah, I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory resides. So what do we see here? Well, where was the altar? The altar was at the temple, right? And he would march around. So he had a strong position. A march is a strong position. He would march around that altar. And it was known that you could find David there. And who would come to the altar? The priests would be there, but also faithful worshipers of Jehovah would bring their offer to the altar so they could see, David could see who was coming on a regular basis, and he could enjoy their association. I was signed in here early, probably 20, 25 minutes early, and I was able to enjoy the conversation in your congregation. No doubt if we would have been at the Kingdom Hall, as was the plan this morning, there would have been a hubbub of conversation, as I know there is at our congregation. I'm sure it's the same in yours, as I could hear on Zoom even. I could get that spirit of the congregation, that you enjoy being with your brothers and sisters. We enjoy that association that we get at our congregation meetings. And Jehovah sees the value, and he instructs us not to forsake that, right? At Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, we get that instruction to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together because we benefit so much. Have you ever gone to a meeting, maybe a midweek meeting, it's in the evening, you worked, and you're going to the meeting and you're thinking, okay, you know what? After the meeting, I'm going to stay for the song and prayer, and I'm going to hit the road because I'm tired. But by the end of the meeting, you find out like 15, 20 minutes have passed. The prayer has been said and you're still there. And you realize during the meeting, you got refreshment. And then after the meeting, you start talking with your brothers and sisters and you're getting more refreshed. You're still tired when you get home, but that refreshment that we get from our association with those who are marching around Jehovah's altar, bringing their sacrifice to Jehovah at the congregation meetings, bringing their sacrifice to Jehovah in our weekly participation in service. These sacrifices that we bring to Jehovah at Jehovah's altar, like David spoke of, these draw us closer together, don't they? Another aspect of our service that I mentioned was our service. If we associate with one another in our ministry, and now we actually get to go back in car groups and have coffee breaks. So we get to enjoy our ministry with our brothers and sisters face to face, if we're able to. Not all of us are able to, and we appreciate that. So we still have Zoom, or we're able to associate while we do our telephone calls or write our letters. But that association, even during COVID when we were on Zoom, those conversations that we were having, that strengthening of each other was something so critical to our service to Jehovah, to being at his altar where we can enjoy this. This is a protection for us. It's a protection against things like depression, doubts. It's a protection against falling prey to Satan. So within this context of the congregation, we need to ensure that we are choosing these exemplary associates, so we can benefit from these. Sorry, I lost my place here. Yeah, there's a principle in Proverbs speaks about isolating ourselves, the danger of isolating ourselves. So, you know, bad association can draw us away from Jehovah, cause us to go towards moral stupidity. Good association can tend us towards wisdom, moral wisdom, but isolating ourselves can have its own detrimental effect. If we look at Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says there, a wonderful Bible principle, whoever isolates himself pursues his own selfish desires. He rejects all practical wisdom. Do we not see the wisdom of that? We spoke about how good association, spiritual companionship can protect us from things like depression or doubts. Isolating ourselves just exacerbates those qualities. If we tend towards depression or doubts, isolating ourselves in our own, and now we can, there's something called an information bubble. So if we're using the internet or we use a search engine even on a regular basis, it will push information at you that confirms your bias. It's called confirmation bias, and it confirms things that you already think. So if you're starting to doubt things, it's going to confirm all these doubts. It's an algorithm that they write, and it helps when you're trying to find something, maybe a part for your car or something. They already know what model you drive, but it has a detrimental effect. And we've seen it with conspiracy theories, how it's really driven negative information at us. So this isolating ourselves in this new modern world that we live in, this interconnected world that we live in, it's even put under a microscope how bad that effect is of isolating ourselves. So even in the congregation, though, we want to be aware of the associates that we are choosing. And we could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. And we can see there the instruction that we have about why we need to be cautious even in the congregation. In 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21, it speaks about it's speaking metaphorically of the congregation. Okay. It says, now in a large house, there are utensils not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, some for an honorable use, others for a use lacking honor. So if anyone keeps clear of the latter ones, he will be an instrument for an honorable use, sanctified, useful to his owner, prepared for every good work. Now, even the instruments for an honorable purpose, this comes into play. This actually is very important when we are trying to select. We talked about how we want to be very decisive in how we select our associates, but in life, there's one associate. I mean, our dedication to Jehovah, I guess we're selecting an associate. So we'll say it's the second most important associate that you choose in your life is your marriage mate. So when you look at this verse and you think there's different purposes that we have within the congregation. So when you are choosing a marriage mate, it's important that you understand you first and foremost. If you don't understand you, stop looking for a marriage mate. Understand what your goals are, and then find someone who has similar goals that you can work with. Because they might have very good goals. It's not saying that they're not good goals, but if they're different, if they're so different from your goals, it may cause strain in the marriage. But if you can work towards similar goals in Jehovah's service, how much more fulfilling your marriage life will be. Maybe you really want to have children. And you don't realize, but you're getting involved with someone who really has no interest in having children. There's nothing wrong with having children. I mean, it comes with its own, you know, ups and downs. But scripturally, there's nothing wrong with having children. It's still a nice goal. But if you don't share that goal, You could be connecting yourself, yoking yourself unevenly, even within the congregation. So make sure these goals that we have are in unity and in unity with Jehovah's will as well. Because as well in the congregation, we may find those whose choice of entertainment is not in line with ours. This choice of recreational activities is not in line with what we see. So it's important to make these decisions in an intelligent, decisive way when we are looking for those associates. So select those who are going to exert wholesome, upbuilding influences on us. Remember, pushing us towards wisdom, the wise course. We want to... So this is talking about how we select good association. The adverse effect of association with wrongdoers can have a really detrimental effect on our life. We saw this actually in the example of David, right? He had some associates that sort of enabled him throughout his life. Joab, when David was trying to do away with Uriah, remember, he sent instructions to the battle lines. That was Joab that he sent instructions to. And Joab kind of enabled him. He's like, okay, yeah, you want to do this? I can facilitate this. Whereas he should have, a good friend may have corrected David and saved him from that harmful course. So our wrong associations, bad influences can have a detrimental effect. Now, no doubt when you heard this theme of this talk, there was a scripture that came to mind about bad association. So we might as well look at it because save you the suspense. And it's found in 1 Corinthians. But we'd like to just look at the context a little bit. We'll read it. We'll just read it. 1 Corinthians. Whoops, I went to the wrong scripture. Give me one second. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It's a scripture that many of us will think of when speaking about associates. It reads there, "Do not be misled. Bad associations spoil useful habits." Very, very clear wording, very clear application. But the background, the context, who was it that Paul was referring to? Why did he say, "Do not be misled"? This was, in fact, he was directing this to the influence of the Epicureans in the congregation of first century Corinth. Okay, the Epicureans, they did not believe the Bible's view of the resurrection. The Epicureans were also known as being a very noble, upright, moral people. Okay, but their motivation for being moral and upright and clean was just that it made their life better. Now, we know this to be true. If we live a clean, moral, upright life, it makes our life better. We have better family life. We tend to be healthier. There's many benefits to go with it. But that was our only motivation. There was no love for Jehovah. There was no respect for an all-powerful creator. They had no relationship with Jehovah. It was just this basic understanding. And they were promoting the idea that there is actually no resurrection. So just live your life good today, because it's going to make this short period of time that we have. So what Paul was saying is, don't be misled about these teachings. Don't look at them and say, well, they're good people. They're nice people. So when we look at our association in the world, okay, many of us probably work with ones who are not witnesses. Many of us go to school with ones who are not witnesses. So we're in constant contact with ones, and we probably, hopefully we get along well with them. Hopefully we're not a really grumpy person to work with, but we get along well, or go to school with. We get along well, we work well. Hopefully we have a good relationship with these ones we work and go to school with. But are they our associates? Do we stick to them? Do we classify them as associates? There's a difference. Like we tell our kids, you know, there's friends, and they're school friends. You have your school friends, but you don't call them on the weekend. You're nice to them at school, but you're not hanging out with them on the weekend. On the weekend, it's friends from the congregation. So it's kind of a similar idea. Are these our associates like the Bible speaking of in Proverbs and in 1 Corinthians? Or are they people that we run into? Because I know I personally, I work with men and women who I consider in a work context, they're good people. They're nice people. I don't dislike working with them, but I don't hang out with them on the weekends unless I'm at work. But so this quality that we see here, it can mislead us because they are, from the world's perspective, they are good people. They are moral people. But do they respect us? Do they respect our standards? The one scripture that we look at sometimes, it speaks about how they hate us. And we might say, well, do they really hate us? These ones we work with, these ones that we see from time to time, ones we go to school with, do they really hate us? And you might say, no, I don't. They don't hate me. They like me. Like, we get along good. We joke. I tell them about my weekend. They like me. Maybe it's true. Maybe they don't hate you. Probably it's true that they don't hate you. But think about how they would feel if you tried to explain to them that Jehovah's standards should dictate our activity in life. If you tried to explain Jehovah's standard on morality, if you tried to explain to them Jehovah's standard on drinking, on entertainment, and that this should affect our conduct, this should affect who we are, what we do, what would they say to you? They would hate that idea. They would. I don't know all of them, but I'm pretty sure if you try and show them how Jehovah's standards should affect your life, they would hate that. And that's what the scripture is talking about when it says that that they hate those who are walking with Jehovah. So these ones that one of the ways that Satan really is using association to influence people today can be found at Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. It says there, give me 1 second. It's Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4 says, let sexual immorality and every sort of uncleanness or greediness not even be mentioned among you, just as is proper for holy people. Neither shameful conduct, nor foolish talking, nor obscene jesting, things that are not befitting, but rather the giving of thanks. So when we look at these standards, and we think of what the entertainment industry tries to push at us, do we acknowledge that our entertainment is a form of association? If we turn on our television or our whatever streaming service we subscribe to, and we allow it to entertain us for half an hour, whatever it is, do we acknowledge that this is a form of association? We better, because it's having an effect, isn't it? We sit there and we allow it to entertain us. So do we recognize the way that it uses this to influence us in the ways of morality and immorality, in the ways of violence, and in the ways of spiritism? You know, the world will use a romance story to influence our view of morality. It might be rated very well, PG-13 or PG or something like that, but the underlying story is one of adultery. The lead lady, maybe she's in an abusive relationship. Well, nobody likes an abusive relationship. It's not good. You shouldn't be in an abusive relationship. So this dashing young hero comes into the picture. And by the end of the movie, you're thinking, yeah, she should really leave that deadbeat. Is that Jehovah's standard? Or should she be working at that relationship? Jehovah doesn't want us to just walk away from relationships. Sure, abusive relationships are wrong. We're not saying they're not. But Jehovah's Standard says, you know, we need to work at it. We don't just walk away. We work, we try. But Hollywood would tell you, no, you got this handsome young hero. You see how that romance leads to ideas of immorality. What about violence? Same deal. They can string a storyline together so that you want the hero to pummel the bad guy. And you're going to sit there. Are you going to sit there and just enjoy this violence? Because what did the Bible say? Jehovah hates those who are loving violence. Do we clearly show Jehovah that we hate violence? That we are not a lover of violence? And they will use, the world will, you know, they'll spin this into an action. It's not violence, it's action. And likewise with Spiritism, they will spin a mystery. Now it's into something spiritistic. They will weave in maybe vampires or zombies or something promoting this spiritistic mentality. Now, it's not to say that a mystery is wrong. An action movie, maybe it's good. Romance, you know, there's probably some decent romance movies out there, but we have to be aware. We have to be tuned in to the fact that this is also association that we are engaging in. So we want to be resolute in our decision to walk with Jehovah and associate with his people. And truly, brothers and sisters, like, do you not find in the last 10 years, if you've been associating with Jehovah's people for the last 10 years, we have some movies available to us now? You know, like this week with the Bible reading, we went back and we watched the Hezekiah video. And I mean, that's a really nice video. It's really good. And you can sit there and you don't even have to look at the rating or anything. You just sit and enjoy it. And our Daniel video and our Jonah video, and there's that romance one where the, you know, the guy and the girl. We have some really nice movies that we can just sit and relax and enjoy. And we know that we are marching around Jehovah's altar. We are in his sanctuary. And we're being entertained and we're relaxing, which we all need to do. So when we are resolutely determined, we follow the example of faithful men and women of old, like David, who made it a firm conviction on his part that he wanted Jehovah to know how much he valued good association. So brothers and sisters, let's be determined and have, not like the Epicureans without that trust in Jehovah's restorative power, but with the understanding of the new world in our future, let's resolutely be determined to choose only beneficial associates.